may be seated. Take your Bibles, turn over to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12 this evening. Romans chapter 12. And Romans often called the Constitution of Christianity. Romans chapter 12. And a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if you remember, but we had a special speaker here. And as he was preaching, and he mentioned something that at least stuck out to me. And he said this. I think I mentioned it this morning. He said that there are a lot of Christians that have no idea what their spiritual gift is. And so the question I have for you tonight, I got a couple questions, and we'll see if we can answer them this evening. The first is this: do you know what your spiritual gift is? Yes. And the second is this, even more important: are you using your spiritual gift for God's honor and for His glory? And so Romans chapter 12, and we're going to look at a couple of verses this evening, very familiar verses. And Romans chapter 12, and we start off at verse 1. The Bible says this: I beseech you, therefore. That idea of beseech means to plead with. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. And there, that word therefore. I looked that up. There are four therefores in the book of Romans. And Romans chapter 3, the Bible says, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall there be no flesh justified in his sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin. That first therefore is the therefore of condemnation. Second therefore that we find in the book of Romans comes from Romans 5, verse 1. It says, now therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We see the first therefore was condemnation. The second, therefore, is that of justification. The third, therefore, you find is in Romans 8. It says this: there is therefore now no condemnation to them that which are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So you have the third of the fourth, which is the therefore of assurance. And then we find the fourth tonight: I beseech you, therefore. That is the therefore of dedication. All right, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Here we go, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, and then he starts to list them. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministering, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do so with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So the question I have for you tonight is this: what is your gift? What is the gift that God has given you? And then if you can discover what your gift is, the next question is this: what are you doing with the gift that God has given you to honor and to glorify Him with your life? Let's ask the Lord to bless. And Father, we're so thankful for this evening you've given us. We're thankful for your blessings. We're thankful for the opportunity that we have to look at your word tonight. And I pray as we do so, as we look at this passage of Scripture, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, we live in some very interesting days and we live in some very interesting times. And what we need tonight is we need some Christians that are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need some individuals that are not talk, but Lord, rather they are have a desire to walk with you and to do what you have told them to do. And Lord, we're so thankful for our gifts that you've given us, and I pray tonight that we would search out those gifts and we would use them for your honor and glory. Again, I pray you'd bless, and we'll thank you so much for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as you look at Romans chapter 12, and there's other passages of Scripture certainly that you can look at,
we find out very quickly that every child of God has a spiritual gift. Now, no one, despite what they may say, has all the spiritual gifts. You may be here tonight and say, well, I got all the spiritual gifts. Look at me, I'm something special. But nobody here has all the spiritual gifts. But can I tell you tonight, every one of us here has a spiritual gift that God has given us. And you may be here tonight and say, well, I don't have any gifts. Can I tell you something? That's not true. God has given you a spiritual gift. Some people have more than one. Some people have a few. Nobody certainly has all the gifts, but every one of us here have a spiritual gift. I guess what I'm trying to say is this. Every one of us here tonight, if you're a child of God, if you're saved, is a gifted child. All right? You mean something to the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, we must understand that spiritual gifts is not a natural talent. A lot of times we think, well, I got this natural talent, so that's my spiritual gift. A spiritual gift is not a natural talent. And the truth is that a spiritual gift is a supernatural ability. It was given to you by God. Now, it may be married to a natural talent, but it goes beyond the natural, and it is a supernatural gift that has been given by God. In fact, as you look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 6, it says this, having then gifts differing, there it is, according to the grace that is given to us. So the Bible mentions grace there in verse 6, which tells us that we are a gifted child of God. And you say, well, no, I don't have any special gifts. I'm just a lowly child of God. And that's not true. God has given every one of us here a gift. God has given every one of us a talent that He wants us to take and to use for His honor and His glory. So I'm not deserving. I'm not saying whether we're deserving or not. We certainly are not. But God has given us a spiritual gift. I read the story one time of Alexander the Great, and one time he gave one of his lowly servants a beautiful and a very expensive gift. And he went to hand it to his servant, and as he was handing it to his servant looked at the gift, and he said this, he said, it's too much for me to receive. And Alexander the Great looked at this lowly servant, and he said this, he said, it may be too much for you to receive, but it's not too much for me to give. And can I tell you tonight this? God has given you a gift. And it's not for us to go around in false humiliation and say, woe is me. God has given all of us a gift. We should know what that gift is. And then we should take that gift and we should desire to seek to please God with our life. So what are your spiritual gifts? What is your gift tonight? Or maybe I should say this, how do you find what your spiritual gift is? Look, if you will, at Romans chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says this. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There we see right off the bat, he says, I beseech you. What the Apostle Paul here is saying is this. He said, he's not saying, hey, I want to talk to you for a second. He's pleading with us. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. How do you find your spiritual gift? The first thing is this, you have to present your body as a living sacrifice. There is what we call a sacrificial presentation. The Apostle Paul here is pleading with us. The Lord is pleading with us that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. And then the Apostle Paul says why we are to present our bodies. He says because of the mercies of God. And because of what God has done for us. Now think about this. We were on our way to hell. We were lost. We were undone. As Ephesians chapter 2 tells us, we were disobedient, we were without any hope, but because of God, because of what He did in our life, because He saved us, because He has secured us, because He has satisfied us, we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Now, for sake of time, we won't talk much about that idea of living sacrifice, but there are actually two living sacrifices in the Bible. The first one is that of Isaac. You remember Isaac? And remember as he was brought up there on the mountain, and I often, you know, when I was in Sunday school, I remember, you know, here's Abraham, and he's putting this young little boy on the altar here. Can I tell you something? Isaac was a grown man. If he didn't want Abraham to put him on that altar, he didn't have to do it. And yet he willingly laid his life down. Now, of course, we know that there was a ram that was caught in the thicket, but he was a living sacrifice. He said, God, whatever you want, I'm going to do. Who's the second one? The Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, he rose from the grave. But we see here a wonderful example of a living sacrifice. We are to present ourselves to God. We belong to God. And by the way, that shouldn't be hard for us to understand. Think about what He's done for us. Think about how He saved us. Think of all that He went through. Think about that spear that was cast into His side. Think about how He shed His blood on the cross for our sins so that we might have eternal life. He has done so much for us, we should be willing to give our lives back to Him. We should be able to do that. And Wilbur Chapman one time, he interviewed the great General Booth. General Booth was the founder of the Salvation Army. And he looked at General Booth and he said this. He said, General Booth, what is the secret of your life? What is it that allowed God to use you in such a great way? General Booth was toward the latter end of his life and just had a few years left to live. And he looked up at Evangelist Chapman and he said this. He said, God has all there is of me. He said, there's been men of greater brains. There have been men of greater opportunities. But since the day I had a vision of what God could do in poor old London, I made up my mind that God would have all of William Booth. That's a profound thought. And that's a question we need to ask ourselves tonight. And that is this, does God have all of us? If God were to come down and look at us and say, hey, Mr. or Mrs., I want you to do that. Do we just give ourselves over to God? God, whatever you want in my life, I am willing to do. And I think if we were honest with ourselves, oftentimes we have hesitations with that. I mean, think about what we have in this country. We have it all. And we have it good. We have more than we will ever need. We have bountiful provisions and blessings. And the result is that oftentimes we're just not willing to give ourselves to God. So let me ask you a question tonight. Have you ever said to God, God, I'm here. Anything that you want from me, I am willing to do. And I think if we are honest with ourselves, we may have some hesitations. I remember growing up, and I don't know if you ever did this. Maybe I was just weird. My wife says I'm still weird, so I might be weird still, but when I was a kid, growing up, oftentimes, remember those globes? They still around. We have teachers. We still have the globes. Remember the globes in your teacher's room? And we'd take that globe and we spin it. And then we take our finger and we say, the Lord's going to call me to be a missionary. And we'd stick our finger right there. And mine always ended up in the Sahara Desert somewhere. I don't know why that was. Either that or the ocean. I don't know why that was. And God, whatever you want for me, I will do. And I did that one time, and I think my finger stuck somewhere on the continent of Africa, and I thought to myself, I don't know if I want to go to Africa. I mean, you know, there's certain parts of Africa where they're still eating people, and I don't want to be lunch for somebody, and I don't want to do something like that. God, I don't know if that's what you want for me. But think about this for a second. God knows what's best for us, and it's for us, it's up to us to say, Lord, whatever you want for me, that's what I am willing to do. So you say, well, how do I know what my spiritual gift is? There has to be a sacrificial presentation. You have to present yourself a living sacrifice. If you don't give yourself to God, then how is God going to show you what your gift is? A sacrificial presentation, get this now, leads to a spiritual transformation. Look, if you will, at verse 2. The Bible says, again, in verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, get this now, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does that word transformation mean? It literally means this. It means a metamorphosis. It has the idea of a change of form. Does anybody remember in grade school, your teacher getting up there and bringing out a little caterpillar and talking about how the metamorphosis process, and how this little caterpillar one day is going to grow up and be a beautiful butterfly? That word metamorphosis literally means this. It means when the inner nature comes to the surface. And when we present our bodies a living sacrifice, there will be a change within us. When I give myself to God, the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That which is inside comes to the surface. Do you know that word was the same word that was used over in the book of Matthew when it speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration? Remember when he went on that high mountain with Peter, James, and John, and there the Bible says that he was transformed, that he was transfigured? And it's the same word that we see here in Romans chapter 12. Jesus went through this change. What happened? We read that passage of Scripture, and the Bible says this, that what came out of Jesus? Glory. What was inside came out. In fact, as we read that passage of Scripture there, the Bible says his face shined as the sun. His raiment was white like the light. Now, his radiance had always been there, but what was inside came out. Now, here's the question I have for you. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. What should come out of us? God's glory. How about this? The Lord Jesus Christ. What's inside should come out. And the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but it has the idea of that we are to be transformed, that Jesus Christ is to come out of us. He is to be our inner nature. And when we present our bodies a living sacrifice, there's going to be that spiritual transformation. The Jesus that it resides in us is going to be the Jesus that is present in us. The Jesus that is hidden in us is going to be the Jesus that is revealed in us. And the reason why oftentimes we go to work and we go here and we go there and nobody knows that we're a Christian is quite simply this, because we have not given ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not been that sacrificial presentation that leads to a spiritual transformation. You will never understand what your gift is if you do not have the mind of Christ. You will never know what your spiritual gift is if there is not a renewing of the mind. You will never know what your spiritual gift is if there's not a sacrificial presentation. Because without that sacrificial presentation, there will not be that transformation. There will not be that renewing of your mind. And the Bible says this, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is that good and the acceptable will of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to know what God's will is for my life. I do. And by the way, it's not, okay, here it is. And every day of our life, we should get up and say, Lord, here I am. Lord, here I am. Whatever you want for my life, that's what I'm willing to do. There needs to be that presentation. Hey, Lord, I belong to you. That sacrificial presentation that leads to a spiritual transformation. Now get this, which leads to a sober consideration. Look, if you will, at verse 3. It says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man this measure of faith." Now, if you look at verse 3, there's a word in there that's used repeatedly. Now, take a look at it. Can anybody think what it might be? Think about it for a second. Do you see that word in there? Think a little bit. It's the word think. Three times we see that word think. Get this now. It says this: think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. And how do we think the right way? Well, verse 2 gives us the answer. It says that there needs to be a renewing of the mind. To think. And so God gives us, when there's that, we're not conformed to the world, but we're transformed, there's that renewing of the mind that allows us to think as He would have us to think. And then He gives us some examples. The first example He gives us is this, that we are not to think more highly of ourselves than we should. Now, let's be honest with ourselves. We all do that. Right? You say, "Oh, I don't do that." Yes, you do. You get up in the morning, you look in the mirror, and you go, "Man, I look good." No, you're not going to do that. But we do think highly of ourselves. And the Bible says, don't think more highly of yourself than you should. And a lot of the problems we have today is that we have a lot of Christians, and again, God attacks this idea of pride, and that think more highly of themselves than they should. Can I tell you something? We're sinners saved by grace. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to split hell wide open. Why? Because it's all about Christ. It's not about me. And so often in the Christian life, if we're honest with ourselves, we get distracted, we get upset, we get disheartened, we get mad, we get frustrated. Why? Because we think about ourselves. The pastor didn't recognize me. Nobody saw me do this. Why? And can I tell you something? It's not about us. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about Him. And when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, can I tell you that it's going to be all about giving Him the glory. And the problem that we have in churches today is this, that people have got their eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. They have got their minds on the world. And then they wonder why it is they're not fulfilling God's will for their life, because there's not a renewing of the mind. There's not a sacrificial presentation that leads to a spiritual transformation. And so we see here that there is a spiritual transformation that will cause a sober consideration. The Bible says this, not to think of himself more highly than we should. The idea there is quite simply this, self-exaggeration. You say, give me a good example of that. You know, ever seen a fisherman that caught the biggest fish? You know, I grew up, I used to say, how big of a fish did my dad, how big of a fish did you catch? I caught one this big. This big. That's the idea of self-exaggeration. A lot of Christians that are just self-exaggeration. Then he says this, not only do we only think of themselves more highly than they should, but we are to think soberly. The idea there is that we are to look at ourselves and we are to take inventory. We're to take inventory. That's a good thing to do once in a while. The idea is quite simply this, that we are to think honestly about the spiritual gift that God has given us. Not so that we could promote ourselves, not so that people can pat us on the back, no, not so that we can walk around and say, "Hey, look at me, look at the spiritual gift that I have." Remember now, that's not natural talent there. That spiritual gift that God has given you is a supernatural gift. God gave it to you. Not so that you could be honored and that you could be glorified. It was given so that you could edify the body of Christ, so that you could promote the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are to think soberly. What is the gift that God's given me? How can I have that gift? How can I take that gift and use it to bring honor and glory to Him? What is my gift? You may be here tonight and say, well, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. Can I tell you something? If there is a sacrificial presentation, that sacrificial presentation will lead to a spiritual transformation, which will cause a renewing of the mind, and God will give you the ability to know what your spiritual gift is. If you have that sacrificial, that living sacrifice, there will be an enlightenment. God will show you what that gift is if you are truthfully seeking it. God will speak to your heart. I don't know about you, but I believe that God speaks to people's hearts. I believe that God speaks to us. I remember when I was in college, I was roommates with a fella, and we were laying there one night, and he started saying something. We were talking about something, and he said something like this. He said, well, God was speaking to me the other day, and he began to talk about it a little bit. And as he was talking, I finally cut him off, and I said, you said this several times. You're telling me that God spoke to you audibly. And he said, yes. I shut the conversation down, and the next day I went to the dean of students. I said, I got a guy over there that thinks he's audibly speaking to God. I don't want to be in his room. Can I tell you something? God may not speak audibly, but he speaks to our hearts. And he speaks to our hearts through the word of God and through prayer. God speaks. I believe that God speaks to us. God shows us. He will enlighten us. God will show us our spiritual gift through enlightenment if we truly desire it, if we're truly seeking it. God will show us our spiritual gift through enjoyment. Through enjoyment. I remember years ago, I had the opportunity, and I know Brother Bob does this on occasion, but I had the opportunity for the first time, I was younger, to go preach in a prison. And I remember... the first time going into this prison, and you say, well, you know, the prisoners, they have so much. They got cable TV, and they got weight. They can lift weights, and they can do this. I'll tell you something. There is something interesting when they slam the doors closed behind you. When you hear those doors, whoop. And I remember standing there. I was about ready to preach, and we went into the gymnasium, and the guard said, now, if there's any problems at all, If something starts up, if there's a fight, if there's a riot, he said, right over here is a fence. And it goes all the way up to the ceiling. He said, I'm going to shove you guys into the fence and I'm going to lock it so nobody can get in there. I don't know about you, but that kind of makes it hard to start preaching. And so I'm standing up there and there's probably 400, 500, 600 men and this gymnasium's packed out and we're getting ready to I'm getting ready to preach and I'm saying, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your help. I'm scared to death. I remember getting up there, and I'll tell you, as I was preaching, I enjoyed it. Just enjoyed it. And God oftentimes shows us what our spiritual gift is through enlightenment. God oftentimes shows us what our gift is through enjoyment. Sometimes he shows it through encouragement or enablement. The Apostle Paul spoke about this over in 1 Timothy where he said, and I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, get this now, he said, who hath enabled me. If God gives you a gift, then he will enable you to fulfill that gift. I don't know about you, I'm so thankful that when God gives us the ability, he's there with us. If God is speaking in your heart about working in a Sunday school class, he's not going to push you into a Sunday school class and say, you're on your own. I hope it all goes well. We'll make sure we get this on videotape so we can show the whole church of you over here frantic. No. When God gives us the ability, when God gives us a gift, he gives us the enablement to do it. And it's up to us whether or not we're going to take that gift and use it for God's glory. So when that gift, there is enlightenment, there's enjoyment, there's encouragement, there's enablement. The Apostle Paul knew that he was able to do what he did, not because of his strength, not because of his power, but because God had given him the ability to do it. So as we look at Romans chapter 12, we see that there has to be a sacrificial presentation. Lord, I'm presenting myself a living sacrifice. Lord, I belong to you. Whatever you want. Whatever it may be, Lord, I belong to you. I give my life to you. And when there's that sacrificial presentation, it will lead to a spiritual transformation, the renewing of the mind, which will bring on a sober consideration. And then we see here in these verses a shared participation. Look, if you will, at verse 4. The Bible says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another." So we have to remember this, that when we are presenting ourselves to Jesus, we're also presenting ourselves to one another. Remember that the church is his body. The church is not an organization. So often people say, well, if I was in charge, I would run it like this. The church is not an organization. It's not a business. It's a body. And it's not an organization where Jesus Christ is the president. The church is a body with Jesus Christ as the head. It belongs to him. And in its arrogance and its conceit and pride that divides the church. But can I tell you something? When we work together with the power of the Holy Spirit, it unites us. It unifies us. So when we have our gift, when we discover what our gift is, there has to be shared participation. Every gift that God gives us is not used for our honor and for our glory. It's used to perfect the body of Christ. I don't know about you, but there are certain gifts that people have that I wish I had. You know, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I'm sitting down and, man, they have a special going and people are singing. I say, oh, I wish I could sing like that. I wish that I could sing like that. But can I tell you something? God didn't give me that gift. And if you heard me sing, you'd say amen. There are certain things that people have abilities in. Certain people have certain gifts. And it's not for us to go, man, I wish I had that gift. I wish I had the gift that person had. If I had that gift, oh boy, can I tell you something? I'd use that gift to honor and glorify God. Well, God didn't give you that gift. But God did give you a gift. It's a supernatural gift. It is a spiritual gift. God gave it to you, and you are to take the gift or maybe gifts that God has given you, not to honor and to glorify yourself and get all the gusto out of this life. God has given you that gift to edify the body of Christ and to glorify Him. So the question I have for you tonight is this: are you using that gift? Is there that shared participation? Everyone here has a gift that is to be used for His honor and for His glory. And so if you're not using the gift that God has given you, then you're not helping. You're not helping the cause of Christ. You are harmful to the body. You know, someone might come up to a pastor and say something like this: how many active members do you have in your church? You may have heard that before. How many active members do you have in your church? The truth is this: everybody's active. But either you're building up or you're tearing down. But everybody is active. God has put you in the body. Everyone has a part. Either you are building up the body or you're tearing things down. God has made all of us different so that He might make us all one. So we see there's a sacrificial presentation. Lord, I belong to you. And with that sacrificial presentation, it leads to a spiritual transformation. There is a renewing of the mind, which leads to a sober consideration that leads to the place where I start to think with a renewed mind, what is my gift that God has given me to honor and to glorify Him? And it leads to a participation of all of us together, which leads to a specific activation. Very quickly, look if you will at verse 6. The Bible says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now he mentions seven gifts here. There are other gifts that are mentioned in the Word of God. But as you as an individual get busy in the cause of Christ, as you get active in the body, the Bible says that God will deal every man a measure of faith, and it's up to us to take what we have and to get busy for the Lord Jesus Christ. So what are the seven gifts that are mentioned here? The first one is this. It's the gift of prophecy. That idea of prophecy there is the idea of declaring truth. Those with that gift will see themselves involved in different ministries, as such as missions work or jail ministries or maybe teaching in a class. But you'll find out if you have this gift that you will have a desire to be persuasive, to move people to action. I remember one time I was asking somebody, wasn't here, I was asking somebody one time if they would be willing to teach a Sunday school class, just once. And they looked at me and they said, I don't know if I can do that. I just don't know. And that's just not my thing. And I could tell they were physically and emotionally, they were disturbed. And I finally said, you don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. You're fine. When I was younger, and I'm still working on getting more brains, but when I was younger, I had no brains at all. I would demean that person. How can you not teach a Sunday school class? You could teach a Sunday school class. You can do that. But the older I get, the more I realize this. Not everybody has that gift. Some people don't have that gift. Some people don't have the gift of being wanting to persuade or to be persuasive or to get in front of people and to persuade them to action. That's fine, but you do have a gift. Not only do you see the gift of prophecy, but you see the gift of ministry. That speaks of service. People with that type of gift, will be meeting spiritual needs in a practical way. They may be in church work, activities. Maybe they're working in programs. But it's the spiritual gift of ministry. There's many more things that could be added to that. And then he says this, the spiritual gift of teaching in verse 7, or our ministering. Let us wait on our ministering. Those are individuals that want to clarify the truth. They have a desire to search out things, to validate the truth. Sunday school teachers. I'll tell you who I believe a lot of these individuals are that have this gift are mothers. They have that gift. The gift of teaching. And what a wonderful thing. I look at my wife I look at my daughter, just do it this way. Don't worry about all the ins and outs. Just do it this way. But my wife will come over there and say, here's why we do it, and this is how we do it. And that's the gift of teaching, the gift of ministering. Not only that, but we see the gift of exhortation. That is the desire to move people in their faith. It's the idea or the ability to get people to love Jesus better. I believe a lot of people that have musical abilities have this gift. Just, hey, you know, someone's just here and you walk over to them and say, isn't God good? The gift of exhortation. I believe soul winners have this gift. They have a desire to go after others, to present the truth of God's love. Not only do we see that, but the Bible says the spiritual gift of giving. Now, we're all commanded to give, but some have a spiritual gift of giving. They seem to have the ability to accumulate assets and then disperse them in the appropriate fashion. You say, well, I have that gift. Great, use it for God's ability. You say, I can tell you right now, I don't have that gift. Okay, you have another gift. The gift of giving, the gift of ruling. Now, a lot of people stand up and say, that's me, I got the gift of ruling. I love to be in charge. And I was hoping you'd get to that one because that's my gift. But get this now, the gift of ruling is not the motivation of being the big shot. I'm in charge. Hold on, everybody. Before we get started and before we get ready on this work party here, I want everybody to know I'm the one in charge here. That's not the idea. It's not the idea of being the big shot. But the idea here is having a big vision to move people in the right direction. It's not for personal gain. It's not for the idea of recognition, but for the glory of God. And then you see the spiritual gift of mercy. Having the ability to identify with people and to comfort them in distress. There are some people that just have that ability. You walk into the room, if you have this gift, you walk into the room, you look over in the corner, and there's somebody sitting there, but you know there's something wrong with them. You know it. And you walk over there and say, you know, I don't know, I don't want to pry or anything like that, but it just seemed like the Lord brought me this direction, and I'd like to have a word of prayer with you. Are you doing okay? And maybe they say, no, I'm not doing okay. How did you know about that? God gave you that ability. God gave you that ability, that gift of mercy. So the question I have is this. There's many more gifts than that. What are you doing with the gift that God has given you? You say here tonight, well, I have the gift of teaching. I have the gift of ministry. I have the gift of mercy. I have the gift of ruling, whatever it may be. What are you doing with that gift that God has given you? Can I say something? If you're not using it for His honor and for His glory, then you're not using the gift in a proper way. You're not. If your gift is being used to promote yourself and to promote your agenda, then you've got this thing all wrong. The gift that God has given us, and everybody here has a gift. Every child of God is a gifted child, and God has given you that gift to bring honor and glory to Him, to edify the body of Christ, to promote the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question I have for you tonight is, are you using that gift for Him? Are you using it for Him? So I don't know what my gift is. Maybe you have to go all the way back to step one. And you got to say to the Lord, I belong to You. It's not my will, Lord. It's Your will. Whatever You want for my life, that's what I'm willing to do. And I'll tell you something, when you get to that place where you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, when you say, you throw up the hands and say, I surrender all, I surrender all, He'll give you the mind of Christ. There will be that renewing of the mind, which will allow us to think in a spiritual fashion where God will reveal to us in different ways what our spiritual gift is, not for us, but for Him. What's your gift? Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful for the Word of God. We're so thankful that it teaches us, that it admonishes us, that it leads us in the direction that we should go. And Lord, every one of us here tonight, we have a gift. And Lord, I pray that we would find out what our gift is, and then that we would take that gift and we would use it to bring honor and glory to You. Not for us. Not so that we could be recognized. Not so that we can be in charge, but so that we can take Your gift that's been preciously given to us and promote Christ. Lord, I pray that we would not squander Your gift, but I pray that we'd use it for You. I pray now You'd bless the invitation. We'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand.